It's a pleasure always to come and share. And this morning is no different. If I were to give this title, this sermon, a title this morning, I would call it The Waymaker. And I'm going to preach on Psalm 121, verses 1 to 8. Psalm 121, verses 1 to 8. And I'm using the New King James Version this morning. And actually, I went to the soundboard, and we have the King James Version. We have the NIV, and but no New King James. So I'm going to preach New King James this morning. So stay with me. And if it comes up a little different behind me than what I'm saying, it's okay. It's God's Word. When we open God's Word, stay with me for a moment here. I'm just going to give a bit of an introduction here to this. When we open God's Word, it is God speaking to you and to me, and we never should take that lightly. This is God's Word. We don't just open it like some kind of easy reading and, well, whatever. No, it's God speaking to you. So this morning, when we open God's Word, what a privilege. What a privilege to open God's Word. It is. We have the freedom in this country to do that. There are a lot of countries you would risk your life to open this Word. In fact, you would thank the Lord for one page. But we have the privilege here this morning. So I take this very, very seriously when I open God's Word. Little Johnny was going to a children's church, and he was learning the 23rd Psalm, and things were going along really well. Till he hit that point, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And he said to his teacher, I don't have a problem with goodness and mercy following me, but I have a problem with surely following me the rest of my life. I don't even like girls. May your doctrine be better than that this morning, better than little Johnny. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. In 1776, Voltaire, a French philosopher, and most of you know this, I'm probably not giving you anything new, but just stay with me, we'll get there. He was called actually an infidel. He taught in France that within 100 years, nobody would be interested in God. In fact, it would just be dead. Move ahead 58 years, the house that Voltaire lived in, the Geneva Bible Society would be printing Bibles out of his house. And on that printing press where he printed his atheistic views, the Bible was now being printed. That's our God. God will have the final say. He will. 66 books written by 40 men, farmers, fishermen, priests, prophets, kings, educated men like Moses, Paul, and they all would say over 3,000 times that they heard from God when they wrote in this book. So this morning, when we open it, I pray your heart will be open to what God's going to say to you this morning. Keep a soft heart. Be open, listen carefully, because he's going to speak to each of us differently. That's the way he works. So Lord, this morning I thank you for this opportunity I have to open your word. What a privilege. And God, I pray for good soil in this place. I pray for soft soils, Lord, where your word will go in and bear fruit. Fruit that will last for eternity. Lord, I pray for clarity of mind. Lord, I pray that I will not say anything that I should not say, but God, may I say what you'd have me say. And now come, Holy Spirit, as only you can. Come into this place and have your way in this place. And I thank you for that now, Lord, and I commit it all into your hands. In your precious name, I pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Glory. Waymaker, Psalm 121, verses 1-8. I'm going to read it through in its entirety, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to look at each verse, and then at the end, we're going to have a question period to see if you listened. You better be taking notes real quick here. If the guy in front of you has a white shirt, just take your pen and start writing. He'll never forget it. Psalm 121 reads as follows. I will lift my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. The Lord shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. Wow. Are you excited? I'll lift up mine eyes. Where? To the hills. I know it's hard to visualize hills in this place today, I know. But every one of you here have in your mind some place that you were. Maybe the Rocky Mountains or, I'm sure Pastor Leonard, he can tell you about so many hills he's seen. Beautiful hills. When you go to the Rocky Mountains, there's always usually one majestic one. It makes you think of the things of God. One of my favorite ones is when I took mission teams to Jamaica. In the morning, I would take a chair and my Bible and sit by the mission house in the quiet of the morning. And I look up to those green hills, luscious green, and all of those different species of birds. In the morning, it's like a choir. I know our worship team was good here this morning, but I'm sorry. You're not quite like those birds, and you're not as colorful either. I mean, them birds are just a-singing. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking up at this, the beauty of it, and the Jamaica starts to move. It goes from quiet and just picks up speed. And all of a sudden, they're into their day. And all of their trucks that have no mufflers on them and smoke like crazy, Jamaica is alive. I'll lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? Where does it come from? If you remember just one thing here this morning, it comes from the Lord. What did he make? Come on, you evolutionists. What did he make? Yes, he did. And just to confirm that, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, just to make sure you know this. If you have a problem with Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you're going to have a problem with this book all the way through to Revelation chapter 19, chapter 22, verse 19, right to the maps. You're going to have a problem. Because all this here is God's word, and you take it literally. Come on now. If you have a problem with the beginning of this book, you'll never make it to the next one. You won't. That's why the world gets stuck up on chapter 1 and chapter 2, and they can't get any further. They're stuck. So what does it say here? Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Who did it? Do you have any doubts about that? He spoke this world into existence, and all you have to look at is creation. Look at his creation. Don't worship the creation. Worship the Creator. Don't get this all mixed up. Our world is so caught up today in worshiping the creation. It's the Creator that we worship. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Wow. 24/7, 365. Well, you're using your CPAC and all that stuff at night. You're no snore machine. God is watching over you. 24/7, 365. God is watching over you. We're going to look at Joel for just a moment to help us understand this. But those of you that are here that have a young family and you have children age one to whatever, six, seven, I remember holding my little daughter in the middle of the night and she's sick. And I said, I'm going to die with this kid in my arms. I am so tired. How am I going to go to work in the morning? I look back now. Now that I'm a father, a grandfather, and a great-grandfather twice, I know I'm too young looking for that. I know that. I look back now, and that was just like doing the 100-meter race, really. Life went by so quick. There was times I wish now that I could have them all back in my house and have control of them. Come on, help me out here. When I hit they hit those teenage years, I thought I'm going crazy. One day they're this, the next day they're that. One day they're grown up, and the next day this kid is crazy. But it went just like that. 100-meter dash. Time goes by so quickly. As we look at Jude, I'm going to look at Jude here quickly. Jude, as you know, is 10 chapters. Come on, you guys. I'm messing in your head. We have one chapter here. Listen up. And we're going to go to verse 20. As you know, Jude was Jesus' half-brother. As you know, Jesus had brothers and he had sisters. Of course, by Mary and Joseph. But we're going to look at this one here, Jude. 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Now, there's a lot in that verse. How do you follow the Lord? How do you do that? Where is your faith? Is your faith in the things of this world? Your faith in your, like Pastor Leonard said this morning, your RSPs, is that where you're trusting? Trust me, with the stroke of a pen, that can be gone. I've seen it happen over and over. You put your trust in God. And how do you do it? It's by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power. Dunamis, power. There was a time that this farm boy raised in Saskatchewan, I was really shy. It's hard to believe, I know, but I was. And there's this one big hay field at this time of the year that my dad would have me behind on that baler, and it would be 90 degrees, and I'm lifting bales that are heavier than me, and you had to stack them. And then there was a slide, and you had to stick the pin in the ground, and the bales would slide, and they got to stay like this. If they didn't, Dad would stop that tractor, and he'd have a talk with you. And I'm behind there, and I'm saying, my dad is trying to kill me. I'm going to die behind this baler. And I'd see those guys going by with those RVs and tent trailers, and I said, someday that's going to be me. I ain't doing this the rest of my life. Many, many years later, I'm driving by that hayfield. The ministry we were with gave us a 35-foot RV with a nice trailer behind, 50 feet equipment, and I'm driving by that hayfield. Praise God. Working for God and a new RV. How much better can it get than that? God is so good. The God that I serve is well able. I know that. I know that. He is well able. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of your Lord Jesus Christ on eternal life. You know, people like to hear a lot about heaven. They do. It's easy to talk about heaven. But nobody likes to talk about the other place. This week, I officiated two funerals. There were actually two funerals, but one. I'll explain that. 2 months ago, I officiated a funeral of a young 20-year-old man who OD'd in the back streets and alleys of Edmonton. Very hard funeral to do. Family is broken. But the home is a dysfunctional home. Dad had his girlfriend there, and Mom had her boyfriend there. This week I get the call, the mom has died from a massive heart attack. Gone. Now the family wants me to come in and officiate another funeral. But there has to be two funerals because the family can't get along to do one. So we had one group come in from 2 to 3 and the other group from 3 to 4. And I shared the love of Jesus with both groups. But my friends, that is the world we're living in today. We are so blessed to be able to gather here and have family and have friends that you can chat with. That is not the norm today. You don't realize how bad it is until you get right in the situation where people are living today. There is no hope. None. They're picking up young men and women on just about a daily basis on the back alleys of Edmonton, consumed by drugs. This city needs a sovereign move of God. Annette and I came to the Lord in the 70s when there was an amazing move of God. People were lined up outside of churches here in the city in the 70s. Was part of the Jesus movement. People were just coming to the Lord. Amazing movement of God. What happened? Somewhere along the line, we got our eyes off of Jesus, which takes us to the next one. 22, on some have compassion, making a distinction. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. And wherever God has put you, do you have a compassion for the lost? Which takes us to the next verse, 23. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There are some people that need to get to that point. They have such a fear of death. They're desperate. If you had a loved one in a house and it was burning, would you just stand and watch? If it was your child in there, you would go into that fire. You would not care. As the great preacher Charles Spurgeon would say, if sinners must perish, let them perish with their arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them not to go there. Let no man go there unprayed for or unwarned. Lord, give us that compassion to rescue the perishing. Have you ever sat in a situation, maybe it was your own, that somebody wrapped their arms around your knees and said, you don't have to go this way. There's a better way. Every one of us in this place at some point had to make a commitment to the Lord in some form. Rescue the perishing. Another save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And here it is. Who is that? To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Worship God. Worship God. Let's go back to Psalm 121. We'll continue. 4. Behold, he who keeps Israel. All translations will say Israel. Shall neither slumber nor sleep. When was the last time you prayed for Israel? Do you do it every day? God's word says, pray for the peace of Israel. There is so much fake news out there these days, you better know what God has to say about Israel. In Genesis 12:3, God said, I'll bless those that bless my people and curse those that curse my people. There it is. In Genesis 15, I think 18 or 19, when God made that covenant with Abraham and showed all the land that the Jews were to have, the little bit they have right now is nothing compared to what they're supposed to have. But I tell you, if you come against Israel, you're coming against the apple of God's eye. Understand that. God loves his people. And that covenant that he made with Abraham way back then still stands today. It is. When they say that we will have it from the sea to the river, that's actually the promise to Israel. Pray. Pray for the peace of Israel. We are called to pray for them. That's what we just read. He who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Here it is. Who is? The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Wow, do you believe that? Well, you might say, well, why am I going through all of this stuff? Where is God? God is God. He knows exactly where you're at. Quite a few years ago, we were taking a group of people over to Israel, and I had been diagnosed as having cancer of the large intestine. I was really, really sick. This 6'3" old body, I couldn't walk around the block. Anyone that's ever had cancer, at least for me, it was like the pain was every part of my body. When I go to Red Rooster and I can't even eat the soup, I'm in bad shape. I was in bad shape. We had some 34 people lined up to take to Israel. And I said, you know what? If I'm going to be sick, I might as well be sick there instead of sitting at home here. So we went. Kind of a rough trip. We get over there and we say, we're going to the Western Wall today. Praise God. And as you know, the men are in one section and the women, there's a wall between, and the women are over here. And you put your skull cap on, trucking up to the wall. Got some men around me, and they're praying. Nothing happened. Nothing. We got on that boat that's supposed to look like the disciples were on, and we got on there and we were dancing in the Spirit. We're having the time of our lives. I'm still not healed. I'm still sick. I get home. It's an 8-9 hour flight from Schiphol, Netherlands. My big body, I can't sit in the plane because the guy in front, my knees are against the back seat already. The guy in front of me puts a seat back, and I'm counting the dandruff on the top of his head. Like, this is terrible. I'm in the back eating snacks with the stewards. That's it. That's where I lived, coming back. Get back here. Colonoscopy was already lined up. They gave me the anesthetic. Had my little sleep. Wake up, and there's Annette and the doctor standing. So, when do we operate? Doctor said, I don't know. He said, you've got a new intestine like a baby. It's brand new. Praise God. My God is well able. My work here was still not done. God said, you still have to preach one more sermon to enjoy life before I take you home. Here I are. Praise God. So no scalpel, nothing ever touched this body. And yet, my older brother at the age of 59 died from cancer. But God is God. God is God. One out of one will die. Is there anyone here 110? Please stand up. Okay. 105. No Moses is here. But the thing is, are you prepared? Whether you stay or whether you go, like Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Either way, and I'm a win-win situation here. Five, the Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. I love preserves. Like preserves? Jams. Homemade jams. Preserves them. The lid is on tight. That preserve will last for eternity. I read this. As soon as I see this word, God will preserve you, I think it preserves. That's terrible. Isn't that worldly? Pickles. I'm getting hungry. I can tell. We went up to St. Paul Friday to check on our daughter and son-in-law's house, make sure everything was still okay. And we went to our favorite restaurant there, which is, well, on the way up, actually. How much time I got here? I'm still okay yet? Okay, I don't want to go a minute over because who knows what might happen to me. On the way up, you got to stop at Baba's on Mondaire. If you haven't, it's worth the trip. Their borscht is amazing. Amazing borscht and her cinnamon buns. Just get one of them and just your hips just go like this. It's awesome. So we stopped at Bubba's. Then we went up to St. Paul and there is, it's called the Twisted Fork. And she is one awesome cook in that little restaurant. But at the end of it, we know Debbie quite well. And at the end of it, she said, here's something special for you guys. And she brings Annette and I two cream puffs with real cream and a new preserve she just started making. It's a Saskatoon. For me, from Saskatchewan, Saskatoon is like Saskatoon jam. You know, when you're done, you take and lick the plate off. She said it'll be coming on the market. You can't get it in freezers till Christmas, so we'll be watching for it. The Lord will preserve you from all evil. 7, He shall preserve your soul. The most important thing that you own, believe it or not, is your soul. that is the only part of you that's going to keep on living. I'm reminded of that every time I officiate a funeral. And you look at that earthly home, it's now empty. The soul has departed, but the soul is, there's only two places it can go. I'm sorry, there's no purgatory. Contrary to what some say, well, there's a holding place. Sorry, there's no holding place. And you can't buy them out of there. You're either in heaven or you're in hell. No in between. But the decisions you make on this earth will decide where you spend eternity. It's your call. God's done everything that He can. The Lord shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in. That's God's promise to us. Do you believe that promise? I do. Everyone in this room at some point should have died somehow already. Come on. The fact is that you're here this morning and God has preserved you. He's kept you. He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. Praise God for that. You're of great value to Him. That is why you're still here. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God's promise to you. I'd asked Rachel last Sunday already for a song that the worship team would conclude this service with. It's called The Waymaker. I believe that song says it all. It says it all. That's why I gave this, the title to the psalm, The Waymaker. As you know the history of that song, a Nigerian woman artist wrote this song. Her name is Sinich. It was released in 2015, and it won the GMA Dove Award, the first Nigerian to ever win this Christian award. The Waymaker. He is our way until we're supposed to worship Him. This morning, the question for each of us is, as you look up onto the hills, what hill are you looking at? What does your hill look like? You can come now, Rachel, with your worship team. What does that hill look like? Does it look like a hill of fear and anxiety and unforgiveness? What does your hill look like? Or does your hill look like a hill of hope, love, joy, peace, forgiveness? Is He your way maker? Basically, this morning I'm speaking to a crowd that everyone here should already know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But the question is, are you where you should be with your walk? Is He your way maker? The Bible says, if there are any among you that are sick, sickness can come in many different forms, in fear, anxiety, health. The Bible says, in fact, Russ confirmed this with me this morning. He shared it in the prayer room, and I said, thank you, Lord. That's exactly what I was going to say at the end. You are to call the elders of the church, the leaders, the elders that are here this morning. And they're going to anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, believing that you'll be healed. They're not here to counsel you. They're to pray with you and join in faith that what you're asking for will be met. He's the way maker. So this morning, as the worship team leads us in the song, I want you to get it down inside of you. He's my way maker, my healer, my miracle worker, my promise keeper, light in the darkness. He is who He says He is. That's who He is. So this morning, whether you stand, sit, or kneel, I'm going to ask leadership to just come to the front here, old time. Pentecostal, they're going to stand facing you. And they're going to anoint you with oil, whatever, if there is a need in your life. Do it. I beg you, do it. If sinners must perish, let them perish with their arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them not to go there. That's who we are. So right now, like I said, whether you stand, sit, kneel, but Lori and Leonard will be here, and they want to pray for you, whatever that need in your life will be. So you stand, it's your call.